It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Western Pennsylvania is home to a large number of veterans. In 2013, the Post-Gazette wrote about the expected influx of members of the military in classrooms under the GI Bill. Our guests have experienced the transition from the military to the classroom. Joining me in studio to address how colleges and universities are accommodating veterans are Dwight Bardarf, Marine veteran and director of veteran services at the Community College of Allegheny County. Dwight Bardarf, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you for having me.
Also with us is Theo Collins, Marine veteran and executive producer of the documentary Project 22. Theo Collins, good to have you back with us.
Thanks for having me back, Paul.
You can join the conversation with your comment or question at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email is esspgh@wesa.fm and on Twitter at esspgh. If you are a veteran, we'd like to hear from you about your experiences transitioning from military to civilian life and going back to school. Again, the number 412-246-2002. And we know, gentlemen, that we're seeing an increase in the number of vets enrolling in college. How big of an increase is it? Dwight?
Well, typically what we're seeing over at the Community College of Allegheny County, which is pretty indicative of what's happening in the Pittsburgh region, is somewhere between an 8 and a 15% increase every year. So we just hit over 1,000 military and veteran students this last year at the Community College of Allegheny County. When I started in 2012, we were at about 500-600. So the numbers definitely are increasing. It is thanks to the post-9/11 GI Bill, and more recently due to some federal and state laws that have opened up in-state residency for family members of military and veterans.
It's a pretty good deal because there is the tuition at a state college. It's free, plus you get a stipend for books and other supplies, and then a housing allowance, which I think is $1,400 a month.
Correct.
So it's certainly nothing to sneeze at. It's a pretty good deal, and these folks deserve that. Theo, this, in spite of all of the resources that are available, is still a big step for veterans to take, to return to school. Describe just, you know, the challenges that are involved in that and what it's like for a vet to go back to a classroom, which they may not have been in for decades.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think for a lot of veterans going to college for the first time or going back to college after a brief hiatus while being in the military, the biggest challenge sometimes, I think Dwight would echo this, comes from your cultural environment that you're thrust into. You know, the campus setting is very different from the military setting, mostly in that the people are very different.
Yeah, that's an understatement.
Yeah. You know, if you're a 22-year-old, just got out of the Marine Corps as a sergeant or other NCO, and, you know, you're sitting in an English Lit 101 class with a few 18-year-olds, and, you know, it's something that you take very seriously because you're a little bit farther on in life, and it's a huge investment. It takes a little bit. It takes a little time to get used to working with different people.
Well, you're in an environment where, and I'm sure it has to be a little shocking after having a lengthy military career, to walk into a classroom for the first time in decades and encounter 18 and 19-year-olds texting, yelling. Do you find yourself as a so-called non-traditional student, and you've both experienced this, you know, both Dwight and Theo, as a non-traditional student, do you find yourself saying, you know, looking at what's around you and going on and saying, what am I doing here?
Yeah, I had a couple of those moments. But it's something that, you know, veterans have a very goal-oriented mindset. So that's very strong, and you're looking towards why you're there. So you can kind of shut that out after a while.
I've also had some of those moments, but what I found interesting about it is those 18 and 19-year-olds often had more questions for me as an older student, as a veteran, than that I ended up having for them or for issues that they were trying to understand. And so I think that's kind of what I found very interesting. And I didn't really expect when I came back to the classroom.
Do you find that there are enough people on campus that understand what you've gone through. You, for example, Dwight, you were hurt serving in Iraq. You were wounded and received the Purple Heart. So you've been in a setting that probably none of these other people, through no fault of their own, simply cannot relate to. And though they may be curious, is it wearing on you and perhaps for other vets not to have people around you who understand?
I think to an extent, yes. But I think also to an extent that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. So when I was going through that transition myself, there was difficulties.
Like what?
The campus that I was at, I went to the University of Pennsylvania, Penn State in Harrisburg, which is a great campus. But at the time, it was 2008, 2009, post-9/11 GI Bill had just come out. There wasn't really too much experience with how that worked. They weren't familiar with veterans transition issues such as classroom, disability support if you would need it. There wasn't the education for the faculty and staff. And so what ended up happening, I was fortunate enough that I ended up getting VA work study in the financial aid office, and it was really able to help the university understand some of those issues because I was there and they could ask me the questions. And it also in turn helped me transition to college. I was able to understand how the university system would work. I essentially had a mentor through the college, and I ended up telling myself if I was ever in such a position that I would make sure that everyone that I came across that was military or veteran didn't experience the same issues that I had, that they received the information about their VA health care, their GI Bill, everything that was afforded to them. And it just so happens here I am at the community college, and we've been able to really make sure that our faculty have had training, that our staff have had training, that our military and veteran students, when they walk in the door, we let them know everything up front that you're eligible for. You know, the VA health care, your VA home loan, your federal unemployment. So we really try and give that to them, and the things that I didn't have when I was transitioning out of the service into the classroom.
And Theo, what is the overall goal here in terms of helping veterans with this transition?
Like Dwight said, those of us who are leaving the higher education. I just graduated from a graduate program. In my later years, I was very focused on helping the younger veterans that were just coming in. I was at Duquesne, and we have a Student Veterans Association of America chapter at Duquesne. And one of our goals there, the leadership, was to educate the new veterans coming in about what the university had to offer, what the community services had to offer, and then just being a voice of someone who's been there for a little while, who can kind of be part of the establishment but also be part of something that you were. So it, like Dwight said, it's just about making the new student veterans, their experiences easy.
We're talking about military veterans making the transition from the military to the classroom, going back to school after what may have been years and years, and trying to get a college degree and retrain themselves in for the new availabilities that are in the job market for them. If you want to take part in our conversation, and particularly, again, we're looking for people that have gone through this transition who have experienced trying to go from military life to civilian life and learn a new skill or trade, re-educate themselves. We'd like to hear what it was like for you if you are a veteran who's gone through that or know someone who has. 412-246-2002 is the number to call. Again, 412-246-2002. Email is esspgh@wesa.fm and on Twitter at esspgh. We're talking with Dwight Bardarf, who is a Marine veteran and director of veteran services at the Community College of Allegheny County. Also with us, Theo Collins, who is a Marine veteran and executive producer of the documentary Project 22. We've had him on here to talk about that in the past. We have a tweet from Brian who says, I just finished law school with the GI Bill as a Navy vet. Overall benefits are outstanding, but falling well short on administration. What is he referring to there, perhaps?
There could be a couple of things there that he's referring to. Given my experience, I would probably say that there are some backlogs occasionally with the Department of Veterans Affairs. There's some miscommunication. There's some training issues. So it's not always the easiest thing to actually activate your GI Bill to utilize it, and sometimes your monthly housing allowance, which you expect for income and things like that, it's not always on time, which can produce a financial hardship for students. So going
and again, a lot of these students, these military vets, are married, they have families, and so it's not just them that they're worried about, but those they are providing for.
Correct, and that becomes a real big challenge. You know, if you expect your $1,500 for you and your family at the first of every month, and you don't get it for 3 weeks later, or a month behind, or 2 months behind, that's going to be a real financial hardship for these families. And so that's a lot of the challenges that we see coming from that. Now, to be fair, the Department of Veterans Affairs does indicate that you should not count on this as income, but the reality is that's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, if you're yeah. if you're in school full time, you know, maybe your partner is, you know, your spouse, your wife, or for that matter, your husband is working, but you know, somebody has to take care of the kids. I'm sure that there's all kinds of needs that need to be addressed, and I'm wondering too about how fragile, and I guess it really depends on the veteran and what they experienced, whether they were wounded, what kind of PTSD issues they may or may not have. But you know, how much stress would it take to maybe start to wear on somebody enough to where they're starting to maybe have issues that are being brought to the surface by the stress of meeting the needs of their family, meeting the deadlines that their courses are requiring them to meet, getting the work done, that kind of thing.
Well, I can talk to my experience, and I'll let Theo talk to his. But I know when I was going through my undergrad, also just recently married, 7 month old at the time, my wife was working. She just went back to work, and I was going through school. But we also had to deal with the VA disability. Final deadlines, a number of different things. And really, it does get to you when you're juggling multiple balls. So in addition to the regular stress of finals in college, you know, you have a family, you have financial obligations, you may have VA healthcare that you have to deal with, your GI Bill, financial aid. So these students are really, really juggling multiple balls, and that stress can add up. And if you don't take care of it, it can lead to consequences.
Can it bring issues that you might, you know, things that you might have experienced during your military service to the fore and exacerbate those? Theo?
Yeah. For some veterans, going back a little bit, I think that, you know, veterans by nature with their military experience, they're actually better suited to higher stress. I think that's something that I can say pretty easily. My experience is being in the military, Dwight's experiences, we were both deployed to combat zones, both dealt with very serious things at young ages. By comparison, going to college was almost kind of easy. But at the same time, for veterans who had extremely traumatic experiences, who have very certain circumstances, it can be very stressful. A lot of veterans have issues maintaining focus in the classroom environment, also in the work environment. And I think it comes down to their personal networks around them and their support networks. I'm very, very appreciative of my friends and family, who without them, I definitely would have made it through college, let alone law school.
412-246-2002, the number to call. Let's go to Rick in Pittsburgh. Rick, you're on the line with Dwight Bardorf and Theo Collins.
Hi. Yeah, I'm a university professor myself, and I just wanted to clarify one of the points that you made earlier, where I think you were kind of characterizing the 19-year-old students as being let's say less focused or less disciplined, and I think that's by and large not the case. I don't have students yelling in my classes. I ask for and generally get respect of the classroom.
I think what I was trying to do there, just to clarify that, was to create a contrast, and certainly not all young people in their late teens are like that, or are, you know, disrespectful, or, you know, wild and going crazy in the classroom. However, I, like many people in the media, have taught as an adjunct at a community college and saw that very thing. So I'm while I don't think that is always the case, that can be the case, and it is in contrast to someone who is an older, buttoned-down professional person who has served his or her country and who's now in a world that is very different from what they've experienced. That's what I was trying to express.
Sure. Okay, fair enough.
And I think I think also there's the time that you as a professor aren't seeing your students. You know, in the time before the beginning of the class, the time after the class, the evenings, the weekends, where when we see our colleagues, our educational colleagues, in situations that you wouldn't.
Sure. Okay. Fair enough. The other point I wanted to make is that I've had lots of veterans and reservists in my classes, and I find they're generally excellent students, mature. They add a lot to the conversation, to group work, and that. Sometimes I have to accommodate their schedules, particularly in the case of reservists, and I'm happy to do so. And as I say, I find that having the mix in the classroom really enriches the classroom. I think it makes it better for the younger students and hopefully, if not better, at least valuable for the veterans.
That's a great point, Rick. And what university are you with, if I may ask?
University of Hawaii.
Oh, my goodness. You're not calling from there, are you?
No, I'm in Pittsburgh right now.
Okay, good. Well, it's wonderful to get your perspective, and I appreciate your calling. And gentlemen, you know, what about what Rick is saying is that the presence of these veterans can really enhance the classroom setting in terms of the diversity and of perspectives that it's helping to provide.
I would agree with that. And like I said earlier, you know, when I got in there, I wasn't expecting there were so many questions from my younger peers in the classroom about, you know, well, you've been all over the world and you've done X, Y, and Z. And what are your thoughts on that? So there was that kind of gap to bridge, I guess, if you will, between even though we're so closely related in age and maturity, we were kind of worlds apart. But I learned so much from them, just like they learned from me. So I would echo that the comments there that it really and truly is helpful to have that diversity in the classroom.
Having said that, do you have any concerns about veterans being stereotyped in the classroom? You know, I'm sure once other students engage them, they will learn more about that individual. But I think that there may be a hesitancy on the part of some students, particularly in the non-classroom settings on campus, to engage or approach with care because I don't want to set this person off, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we see that typically. That is a typical, you know, as veterans, I think as a population, we're still kind of branded with that, you know, old style mentality that we're all on the edge, which is really not the case. And so I think many of us in the veterans community really do our best to kind of combat that stereotype. And what we're doing on campuses is we're trying to integrate the civilian population with the military and veteran population. And we do that in a number of different ways. You know, we have group meetings, we have panel discussions that the students can come and talk to the veterans. Our most recent thing that we're doing here is on August 6th from 2 to 7 p.m., we're holding our first military and veterans open house at CCAC, and we're inviting, you know, not just the military and veterans community, but to interact with our other student population and kind of see the other side of that. So the schools and the community really are trying to help bridge that divide and make sure that we're not seen as that stereotype.
Right. Yeah, we've actually done such a fantastic job of raising awareness of veteran PTSD that now the kind of presumption is that every veteran has PTSD, and you have to do your best to rebut that. And the truth is that it's a small percentage of the population that suffers from severe PTSD where it's noticeable in social interaction. And I can also say with my time with the Student Veterans Association chapter at Duquesne, I was the chapter president for a year, and I would do my best to reach out to the other student veterans and see what kind of issues they're dealing with. What can I do to bring that to the attention of the administration? And one of the most troubling things that I learned was that a lot of these guys, they're not quite there yet, but they're thinking about not putting their military service on their resumes because of the presumption, potentially, by a hiring person that veteran has PTSD.
Yeah. That's sad to hear.
Right.
And I guess apparently convincing veterans to come to college isn't the hard part. It's getting them to stay there. Why is that, Dwight?
So a lot of them, when they come, because they have families, because they have other things going on, you know, the priorities shift of these students. If you're in college and you're struggling financially, even with that assistance, you've got a family to support. The choice comes down to, do I support my family or do I finish my classes? And oftentimes, the decision like any of us are going to make, we're going to support our family. So they go out and they find part-time jobs, find things like that. A lot of the other issues that we see besides economic are physical or mental. You know, it's difficult to finish your studies and things like that if you have some sort of healthcare related issue or a behavioral health issue that you haven't taken care of, whether it's anxiety, post-traumatic stress. And again, I'd like to echo Theo's comments on that. Not all of us have post-traumatic stress, and even if those of us do, it's at varying levels. And that does take a toll
on
your academics. So those students, what we see, if they don't have the appropriate support, they're going to drop out, or they're going to have to drop out just to take care of their family and financially.
Let's take a call from Pilar in Pittsburgh, who has a comment for our guests, Dwight Bardorf and Theo Collins. Pilar, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hello.
Hi. You're on the air.
I just wanted to say that my brother was a vet in the Army for 10 years and attended the University of Pittsburgh at Greensburg and was about to graduate. And apparently they were contesting a class of his that he had taken years before, a 101 class. And he gave the transcript of his time in Iraq, I guess, about how many times his armored vehicle had been hit and all the each and every contact he'd had there. And it really, the civilian that he was having the issue with that didn't understand took a look at the record of service and actually apologized and said, I'm sorry. You know, like, so my comment was to just say that stands, that means something. And civilians, once they realize, you know, you just got to stand by that record of service and be proud of it and actually show that to somebody. And it could actually, you know, be a benefit to you, but you have to have the documentation. If you don't have it, then nobody can, you know, see that and you can help yourself with it.
Well, that's a good point. And remembering what you said earlier, Theo, that, you know, some veterans are concerned about putting that on their resume. Pilar is saying, you know, this can be something that helps you and not to shy away from it. I guess one question that comes up is how crucial is it for veterans to know how to market the skills they have learned in the military to those without a military background so that the employer understands if it's a person who doesn't have a military background, what skills this individual, having served in the military, is actually bringing to the table?
Absolutely essential. So we've heard from employers, we work with employers at many of the schools and things like that about, you know, what do you need? How can we get our graduates to you? And things that we hear time and time again, reliability, hard work, teamwork, all those things that you learn in the military, it's really those soft skills that employers are looking for. And I guess the question is, like Theo said, how do you translate that? And ideally what you would have at either a university or the PA Career Link is somebody who has served, who can help bridge that, who can help translate those military skills to civilian skills on your resume and convey that to employers. These are the skills that we are bringing to the table as veterans in addition to our education, and this is why you want to hire us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's almost a complete translation of, you know, some of the military jargon and terminology. What's a different way that I can say that I did this, and this that makes sense in a civilian setting? And definitely the soft skills, because there's, depending on your job in the military, whatever you did, there's probably not many technical things that you did that are going to translate into the, you know, higher education and then your job afterwards. So it's definitely about bolstering and talking about the soft skills that they have. You know, definitely the reliability, dedication, leadership skills, teamwork.
We've been talking with Dwight Bardorf, Marine veteran and director of veteran services at the Community College of Allegheny County, and Theo Collins, a Marine veteran and executive producer of the documentary Project 22, about veterans making the transition from the military to the classroom. Gentlemen, it's been an enlightening conversation. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us here in studio on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Coming up, Academy Award-winning singer-songwriter Randy Newman talks about performing with the Pittsburgh Symphony, and he's about to debut a new song just for us. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.